Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic and mediumship abilities. Today you'll hear a conversation I had with Nathaniel about astral travel / astral projection. Such an interesting topic, and I'm really glad that I finally got an episode dedicated to this on the podcast. We really get into like consciousness too, which I think is just so fascinating. And overall, this episode is just really fun, and I learned a lot. I think that you will too. All of Nathaniel's information is linked in the show notes if you're interested in getting to know his work a little bit more. And he recommended some great books if you're interested in reading up more on astral projection. So if you like want to really learn, I linked those books in the Opening the Door Book Recs link that you'll see in the show notes as well. So I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. So, so fascinating, and learn a lot. Plus, before we dive into this episode, I want to tell you about new readings that are available now on my website. And these are only for the month of December and the month of January. So these are limited time readings. And these are called your 2024 theme readings. So in these readings, I connect with your guides, specifically your guides, and ask them to give a few themes that you'll be experiencing and or seeing in your 2024 year. These are like overview readings. They give you sort of a bird's eye view of themes, and they're not month-to-month readings. So they give you a lot of flow and some great good advice from your guides along the way as well. So if you're interested in sort of grabbing some themes that you'll be seeing within the next year, getting some advice from your guides for 2024, there are two options available to you for this. So if you just sort of want a little taste, a little mini reading, you can grab the mini reading version of this on my website on the shop page. And that is a typed page for me about what comes through for you and your themes. And then the second option is a 30-minute Zoom reading with me where I'll connect in with your guides, grab all that info, and we'll get all the juicy details. A little bit longer, obviously, than the mini reading, but I like to give both of those as options for you. So the link to my website where you can book either of those is in the show notes for you. Enjoy the episode, and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming Nathaniel to Opening the Door. Nathaniel is a meditation coach for developing mediums who are struggling to get out of their heads and trust themselves. Having been on his spiritual journey for over 13 years, he is passionate about using meditation techniques to help practitioners learn how to cultivate their spiritual abilities. He teaches the flow method, which combines meditation, mindfulness, and flow state to get you out of your own head, trust yourself, and improve your connection to spirit. Nathaniel, welcome to Opening the Door.
Hi, Haley. Thank you so much for having me. It is a great honor.
So excited to chat with you today about astral travel. And I just want to shout out Juan from Third Eye Sight. If you haven't listened to his podcast, go ahead and you can hear Nathaniel and your
partner, my wife,
on there with a really fun sort of mediumship journey episode. I can link that in the show notes as well. So just wanted to shout that out, sort of how we got connected on this. So I had basically heard Nathaniel talk about some of his astral travel, like sort of just your journey with astral travel. And I was like immediately like, ooh, gotta have you on the podcast. So before we get into that, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about your own spiritual journey, how you got to where you are today in your practice?
Yeah, well, I think the spiritual journey was like seated in me from the very beginning. I was raised Catholic. So the very idea of like an afterlife and stuff like that was very prominent in that. And as I got older and like kind of moved away from that, forming my own beliefs, my mom actually encouraged a lot of like books on like Meet Your Spirit Guide and kind of moving in that direction. So that really wet the palate for just a lot of like general like spirituality, New Age concepts that I really gravitated towards. I appreciated the kind of like openness and like self-exploration part of that, as opposed to, you know, the typical religious, you know, believe this because I said so kind of thing. And I think that fostered a lot of initial interest. I remember my aunt talking to me about, she didn't know it was called astral travel at the time, but this whole idea that you can like leave your body at night. And I was like, wait, what? And, you know, at the time it was very much like, you know, your soul can like go beyond the body and stuff. And, That piqued my interest. Didn't quite know what to make of it. And it was a few years later when I was old enough, maybe in high school, that I started, you know, researching a little bit more. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this a try. So one night, just out of the blue, I sat down, I tried one of the techniques I read about, you know, back in the early days of the internet. And I felt myself literally start to pull away from my body. And there's these energy sensations and popping, and it felt like I was like maybe 3 inches like out of my body. And then of course, snap back, you know, that was it. But for a first attempt, I was like, that was solid. Maybe so
that's
solid.
Really solid for a teenager first attempt.
Yeah, don't really know anything, which is probably a gift at the time, you know, and kind of like spooky in a way, because it was real. It became real in that moment. And like a few other things, I connected my guide and other works and stuff like that I was doing. It seeded the growth that would come later on. And so years passed, high school, very busy, got into college. In 2010, I took my first psychic mediumship development class and started getting involved in meditation. And that really brought my spiritual journey back as a young adult. And throughout that time, I was kind of always going back and thinking about those experiences, the astral travel thing, the body thing, and trying to like find a way to piece this all together in a framework. And it wasn't until a vacation to Sedona that, you know, I had a reading and it was like, I see you in a cave with, I think it's like a guide. He feels very like Native American, which was the guy I had previously identified and worked with. And he seems to be teaching you like how to like leave your body and like bilocate. And I'm like, oh, that's that astral travel thing. Sure enough, a week later at a, just like flea market, there was a book table, and on there were some really old books about a lot of spiritual things, one of which being was astral projection. Of course I picked that up, and of course I started reading it, and that was just the fuel to the fire. Right after that, I think I devoured Robert Monroe's works, William Bullman, Tom Campbell. I just read anything and everything I can get my hands on and started practicing. Yeah. And that just kept going forward, took me into meditation, brought me back to mediumship and greater spirituality. And it keeps going. And here we are.
So cool. One of the questions that's just sort of coming out of this for me, especially because like I'm a psychic medium as well, and this sort of astral and lucid dreaming, like this other sort of feels like a little bit more personal work, though I know it's all really connected and it can help you have a deeper relationship with your mediumship, which I'm sure we'll get into. But how did you sort of balance developing those different facets of your abilities? How did you balance developing your mediumship and also sort of developing this other interest that you had in like the astral body and what you could do there?
Sure. Yeah. No, it's a lot, because when you start to, you know, everyone's so interested in developing all these things and you're like, man, I could just be practicing something every day, all day long, you know, it gets overwhelming. So how do you pick and choose? Well, I think it came back to me working with guides and particularly as a young adult, there was a balance between the personal and the spiritual development. And I firmly believe the two are intertwined. Oftentimes we get these goals in our spiritual development and these abilities that often the journey to get those goals bring up a lot of personal development work that are necessary to achieve those goals. And it's kind of like the carrot at the end of the stick enticing you to go along, because I think the point is for us to ultimately grow and become more loving and express that. It's not about the abilities, but they do help and they are cool. So first off, there's that. Then within the spiritual abilities itself, I don't think of them always so isolated. And a lot of where my beliefs on astral projection and all that work is about consciousness. And I think at the end of the day, we're working with consciousness in so many different modalities and formats. That's what it's truly about. So if you can kind of read in between the lines and read through the core of all these abilities, you realize that, you know, kind of like going to the gym, you don't just go and do like work your chest or your arms every single day. No one does leg day 5 days a week, right? You go to the gym to work out, but you're doing different things and it's all good for you. It's about your overall health. So I think training mediumship, training psychic abilities, readings, astral projection, they all are training our consciousness. They're all encouraging us to grow in good ways.
Cool. I love that answer. You can do a lot. Yeah, that's what I definitely am, somebody who is like, chooses something and I'm like all in on this thing, and then something pulls my attention. I'm like, wait, how do I do both? So balance, always a good thing to have, right?
Yeah. And like, don't be afraid to go with those shifts. you know, if something lights up for a while and then all of a sudden it doesn't and something else lights up, you know, allow yourself to flow and go with that. You know, you don't get caught up in like program hopping and not staying with something long enough to actually see it through and see results. But, you know, if you're feeling an instinctual call to like move to another area, you know, you might learn something from that thing that takes you back to that thing, you know, originally.
Mm, yeah, totally. Ooh, love that note. So how would you define astral travel or astral projection, whatever we sort of want to call it for the episode? What's your sort of definition of that?
Sure. So astral travel, astral projection, I kind of use those two terms interchangeably. I actually usually prefer the overall moniker called out-of-body experiences, because I think that encapsulates four very similar skills within that. So remote viewing, astral projection, lucid dreaming, and near-death experiences. So anything out-of-body is a real personal, tangible experience that allows you to see that consciousness is not limited and bound to the body. And so these four areas are often where we hear a lot of people having experiences. I think there are slight nuances and differences between them, but for the most part, consciousness kind of operates like a spectrum, right? So it can get a little murky which one's which, but for the most part, you kind of have a feel for it. So astral travel, astral projection specifically, you are in a full waking state in another kind of reality, realm, dimension, however you want to think about it, that feels just as real and waking as your current physical reality and daily life. And usually in those planes, they can vary from more kind of consensus realities, things that many people can kind of experience, to your very own personal subjective experiences, which gets a little closer to the lucid dreaming side of things. But for the most part, again, they're all considered an out-of-body experience, or in my book, an astral projection.
Mm, so interesting what you're saying about consciousness. I feel like that's also something that I'm just so fascinated with recently. There's so many interesting stories about people being like in, you know, the hospital and declared brain dead, like unconscious, right? But they are having an astral or out-of-body experience. And when they sort of get back to their body, they're able to talk about that. And so I think I just find the idea that our consciousness probably doesn't live within the body so fascinating. Like, there's a lot of sort of thought around the consciousness sort of living like in the crown chakra or like right above the head. And I don't know, I just wanted to mention that because consciousness is so fascinating. There's so much that like science still has to learn about it and that we all still have to learn about it. So fascinating.
Oh,
so
yeah.
when we talk about the astral body, mm-hmm. Or like, what is the astral body to you? Is it our soul or is it something else?
Okay, so this is on the surface level, you can think of it like a soul. But if you actually look at it, I don't believe there is a tangible soul. I think, so consciousness, right, is really the exchange of information. And I think how we interface with that information, how we work with it, can take many different modalities and formats. And it's largely based off of our own experiences, our own beliefs, what we've taught and learned. So if you train in a modality where you're like, yeah, you have a soul and it has to like leave and separate from your body, chances are when you start to go and interface with consciousness and have an astral projection experience, it's going to follow that format. That's why when you hear about people who have near-death experiences and even capable astral projectors, when they go to like heaven realms and higher realities, oftentimes it's somewhere in alignment with their own beliefs and understanding of things. It doesn't mean that they're right or not. It kind of points to the finger that there's something bigger happening beyond all of this, right? So the long story is no, I think it's consciousness and I think it can take many forms. If it's easier to imagine a soul leaving the body and that resonates with you, use that modality. Use that framework and tool, because at the end of the day, they're all tools to help us have these experiences to learn and to grow.
Mm, interesting. So do you think sort of, I don't know, I guess my question coming out of that is like, where do you think our soul resides? That's a huge question. Also, yeah. I totally don't expect you to like have like don't feel like you have to say the answer, or just like, what are your thoughts right now in your journey about that?
I don't think that will ever be. I mean, that starts getting into like, what is, you know, consciousness?
Yeah.
Why does consciousness incarnate here? And these are things that I think in many ways we'll never have a full answer to. I think we have to all personally experience it. And I'm not even sure words can describe it, but with that, I'll do my best for what I understand to be right now. Okay. So part of my journey after a lot of the astral projection, I started practicing a lot of meditation because I was really interested in using that for the astral projection experience, because I'm a Taurus, I'm a sleep baby, I need my 8 hours a night. I did not like the wake up back to bed method or anything like that. I was groggy the rest of the day. So I became very interested in using meditation as a tool for that, which took me into a lot of training meditation, which took me into a lot of actually traditional Theravada Buddhism. And I had the wonderful experience to work with many, many like masters and experts within their own fields within that to learn some very deep meditative states and what I call kind of like flow states, but they're like states of absorption, very similar to kind of like, you know, that wakefulness, half asleep, half awake, mind awake, body asleep state in its own way. So in that process, I have learned that consciousness is not a tangible thing. Just like our body, just like our idea of self, it is conditional. There are many conditions that go into making that experience. And consciousness, largely, as I understand it, is kind of like that innate awareness we have of things. Now, what's interesting and where it gets tricky is that the materialists will believe that consciousness is completely linked to the brain's ability to be aware. So, you know, you're not conscious of a tree falling if you don't hear it. Whether that means the tree fell or not, that's a whole nother question. But you're not aware of it. It's not a part of your reality. Where if you are hearing it and you're aware of that, it is. So if consciousness arises because of this kind of sense contact we have, it's coming out of those experiences. It's not inherently existing anywhere. But then the spiritualist in me, who's not a materialistic viewpoint, goes, well, what about these spiritual realms? There are consensus realities. There are objective, verifiable, provable things that multiple people have hit on over time with other practitioners and tests and labs and studies. So I think that the same conditionality, those rules supersede our reality. It applies to those other realities. So consciousness is always conditionally arising. It's not a matter of existence or non-existence. It's conditionally dependent, whether it's this reality or the next.
Fascinating. Oh, I love, we're like 20 minutes into this and I love it so much. It's like, it's total brain stretcher. And I love it.
So glad. Yeah. It's a deep topic like this. If you're kind of struggling to follow along with this one, pat yourself on the back, you know, like that you are not alone. This is people say that space is the next frontier, and then we look at the fact that most of our oceans aren't explored. I'm over here going like, consciousness is the next frontier, you know. This is where we're going.
Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah, you're so right. There's so many places to look, right?
yeah.
What about like the astral plane? I think we see a lot of like, as a joke, and I'll tell a funny little astral story, actually, now that it's just popping into my head. But like, you know, meet me on the astral plane, like this whole like me on the astral plane, like all these little jokes, right, that we see on TikTok and on Instagram. And one night I had seen some funny little thing about it. And before we went to bed, I said to my husband, meet you on the astral plane. And he said, I'm too tired tonight, like as a joke, right? So we go to bed. And I had a dream that I walked into a bar and he was there, my husband, and he was facing the bar. He was sitting at the bar, not talking to anybody. There was people. And I came up to him and I said, we made it. We're here. And he was just looking straight forward. Like, he didn't acknowledge that I was there at all. And I was like, why can't he see me? And so I just want to mention that because it was really funny. It came out of a joke. And now I kind of think that like maybe my mind took that and was like, you want to go? But so this is a really long way of me asking you, what is the astral plane? Like, where is it? And what is it in what has come of your research of that?
Sure. So I think, again, coming back to that conditionality, the astral planes are born of conditions, but It's important to note that with the astral terminology, there are many subjective experiences and objective, and oftentimes both. So what I define as the astral planes are not the entirely subjective realities that aren't verifiable and stuff like that. And that's, again, like I said, more on the lucid dreaming side of things, because you can have whatever experience you want to have over there. The astral planes, I read it once. I believe it was either William Bowman or Tom Campbell. Both shout outs to both of those respective experts there. They talked about the idea of consensus realities. And the idea was there was so many consciousnesses experiencing this, that this kind of concept of this plane, this place, became more tangible and more real than, say, an experience that you dreamt up on your own that was only kind of backed up by you and your experience. And they found that, like, you know, in the astral plane, things are very fluid. So you can kind of like create things out of thin air. If you can think it, it'll happen, right? But with these consensus realities, not only could multiple people experience it, like the park is a big one, it was harder to completely modify it because there was so much equal thought going into it. One thought, one person thinking about it couldn't fully change it. So it was more tangible than something that was totally subjective. I think those planes are what I largely define as the astral planes, just because they are repeatable. Both people can go there and aim for it. There seems to be a lot of consistency to them. So that's what I kind of consider the official astral planes.
Super cool. That's awesome. I hadn't heard of that, but I think that that's really cool. And where, like, I have two questions. I'm trying to decide, mm-hmm. like, what do I want to ask first? So the first one is sort of harkens back to some more explanation that you had given earlier, sort of about just general astral travel or projection and out-of-body experiences. Like, do you feel like when we maybe walk ourselves through a guided meditation, like, let's say I do a guided meditation to meet one of, like, is that astral travel or projection, or do you sort of see that as something else?
Sorry, you paused in the middle of your question. You were talking about guided meditation, and then the internet paused on my end.
No worries.
So when you're doing a guided meditation,
no worries. I'll say it again. So when you're doing a guided meditation, and let's say you're going to meet a spirit guide or something like that, you're being guided through by somebody's voice that you're listening to or something like that, and you're seeing yourself move through the meditation. Do you consider that to be like astral projection or astral travel, or do you have to be sort of in like a deeper flow state than just sort of like a regular guided meditation?
I don't define that as astral projection. I define that as interacting with consciousness, which again operates on a spectrum. So it is very similar, but I think for it to officially be deemed an astral projection or an astral experience, you cannot be plugged in to your current reality. You can't feel yourself lying on the bed. It can't be entirely mentally generated. I mean, you feel like you are there. I know Robert Monroe came to kind of term his process. He started very kind of like the traditional roll out of your body, see yourself lying on the bed kind of process, but he came to understand it and called it phasing. And I think it was an engineering term, but pretty much if you imagine, like, you know, those hotels with those revolving glass doors, on the outside of the hotel, you're in your current reality, your physical reality, right? And as you start going through those doors and you spin them aside to get into the hotel, halfway through, you're kind of here, you're kind of there. You're kind of in neither. That's kind of like that in-between state. I kind of think a lot of meditations, a lot of guided meditations, a lot of mentally generated processes and visualizations are kind of in that area. To be a full astral projection, you have to kind of finish that phasing process and be inside the hotel lobby. So your physical reality, your life, it's kind of outside, it's back. You're now rooted inside the hotel lobby in an astral plane or having your own subjective experience play out, you know, which is very valid too in an astral projection, but you have full waking consciousness. You're fully aware, you feel fully tangible, present there to whatever effect.
Yes. Okay, cool. I like the delineation. I agree with you. I just wanted to sort of get your thoughts.
Yeah. No, it's important.
Yeah. Can you tell us about some of your astral travel experiences that you've had?
Yeah. So the first one is always the one you never forget. And I think that was mind-blowing to me, because again, kind of like that experience I talked about earlier where I started to do the separation process, it became real. This completely like sealed the deal. So I was actually going through a self-guided like program. I think it's called Mastering Astral Projection by Robert Bruce. And I forget his co-author's name, I'm sorry, but Robert Bruce is really big astral dynamics. And he had this book that was a self-guided program. And I was going through it, working towards that kind of meditative conscious astral projection experience. And in the process of working on that, I was actually visiting home for the holidays one time, and it was totally spontaneous. It wasn't my conscious control directed. I just went to bed one night and I woke up in the middle of the night, but I did not physically move. It was just enough mental awareness to recognize that my consciousness is had kind of become aware and woke up. I knew not to move my physical body. And I'm like, this is it. I just somehow knew I could do it. And I'm like, relax, wait for the, you know, kind of vibrational state. And sure enough, like clockwork, the second I had the thought and the intention, it happened, right? Because a very fluid environment. And it felt like what spread through my body very quickly in less than a second was almost what it would feel like if like you imagine like old phones vibrating really strongly in your pocket and you feel it against your leg or something. That a little stronger throughout my whole body. It even sounded like if you left a phone vibrating on like a table, like you can imagine what that would sound like. It got really strong and loud. And I'm like, I just knew from all my practice and research, wait till it peaks, wait till it gets in full intensity. And like, I'm not consciously thinking all of these thoughts. It's more of just like, there's this innate knowing as it goes. And sure enough, eventually it was clear, it was there. I'm like, I can roll out now. I just knew I can separate now. And many people report, you'll just know. It's very intuitive. And I had the thought, because at the time I was actually on an old childhood bed, which is a bunk bed at the time. I was afraid, oh, if I roll out, I'll fall off the bunk bed. But I knew it would be okay because it's an astral environment, right? But so sure enough, I go to roll off. I was lying on my left side. I roll around to my right and I feel myself pass through the top, like little like divider there for the bunk bed, so you don't usually fall off. I felt myself pass through that and I fell from the top bunk towards the floor. But because I knew it was okay, I mean, I felt like super fast, but the very last second, I like rapidly decelerated and like landed on the ground like a cat. Silent, still, nothing hurt. It wasn't shocking. It was just like, oh, cool. Like I knew I'd be okay. And I was, you know, the first thing I noticed is I had no sight. So I tried William Bowman's trick, the clarity now, sight now. It didn't come. So I started moving around, trying to ground myself into the reality. Because they talk about extending your experience. You want to really root yourself there before you lose consciousness, before you kind of lose that lucidity and slip back into a dream or something. And oh man, I could feel like I was on a carpet. I could feel every individual fiber of the carpet rubbing against my hands and my knees and my feet as I'm kind of like crawling around. But then I recognize it feels really muddy. It feels really murky and thick. And I could barely move. And so I'm like, okay, more clarity. I need more clarity. Clarity now, clarity now. And my voice came out and it sounded a little demonic, for lack of better words. And not in like I was afraid kind of way, but I think, and I have a theory of why, it ended up startling me just a little bit because it was not what I expected to hear. And I thought of my body and like a split second, I was right back in my body on my left side in bed and the vibrations were dying down. I had no breaking consciousness. I remembered everything with full detail and full clarity. Like I went from there to there with no lapse. And I was able to move my body a little bit and I immediately grabbed some notes and started just writing things down to cement it in my memory, right? And I was like, oh my God, that was it, that was it. And I quickly knew based off of my research that the reason why everything was so like hard to move through, there was no sight, the sound of my voice was weird, is I had very low levels of lucidity. Because again, it happened when I was asleep, I was probably coming out of REM, I was probably coming into that state naturally. And because it's been on my mind, you know, I happened to gain that awareness, that lucky break. And that was affecting the quality of the projection. And just time and experience and would have obviously made that better, but I knew that was the answer. So that was an experience I will never forget.
That is so cool. I have many questions. I didn't know that when you astral project that sometimes you don't have sight. I thought that was like a given. So that's really fascinating. Why do you think that is?
Because sight is a very physical thing, and consciousness does not use our physical senses. But because we are so used in our waking reality using our 5-6 senses, if you count anything mind and internal, consciousness draws on what we know, and what we know are the physical senses. It's also, you'll hear things too, like the farther you get away from your body, the better it gets. And that's true. But it's the more you buy into the experience, the more it goes. But the weird thing was, is like, I perfectly knew where I was. I could feel anything. It's like the senses and the intuitive knowing of it was stronger than any of the individual senses. I just think, again, we're so programmed by our senses and our waking reality, you know? But any of them could be there or not be there.
That is really cool. Did you feel like your feeling, like physical feeling, was heightened? Like you said, you could sort of feel every fiber of the carpet. Like, I don't know, I guess, did you feel like your body was still in the same shape as a human body? Like you felt like you had hands, or did you feel like you were more of like a little energetic, like ball or something like that?
No, I had full shape. It was as if I was crawling around the carpet. I was my full adult body. I'm 5'10 for reference. So I was crawling around, you know, on the carpet, very, very clear physical human body shape. Wow. And yes, everything was heightened. So like I can crawl around and feel the carpet and stuff like that in real life, but it was to the next level there. Every individual carpet fiber and strand and just high attention and awareness of it brushing against all parts of my hand, my palms, my, you know, it was to the next level.
Wow.
You often
so
hear
fascinating,
realer than real life.
And yeah,
that is a term that like when you have that, you will understand. Yes, it is almost realer than real life.
That's so cool. And what about like a lot of people describe when they astral project sort of seeing a like a cord coming out of like their heart area or even sometimes their third eye. Did you see anything like that?
Not in that experience and not actually in any of my other experiences. It seems to really be, again, one of those things that it depends on what you believe. If you think there's a cord there and you go to look for it, chances are you'll probably see it or feel it or something like that. And we think of it as the tether to the body. But I think this comes from that old moniker of like, we have a soul and it needs to somehow be energetically connected to the body. It comes from that understanding. And since then, science has come to understand consciousness so much more. So that's when I go back to like, okay, these are modalities. These are tools to understand the experience that's heavily modified by our subjective beliefs and what we expect to see. So it can be there, but if it's not, like, not to worry.
Like, if you don't have one, it's okay. You're not going to, like, float away from your body.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly would feel almost more restricted by having this silver cord following me around. You kind of like vacuuming. How many times do you trip yourself up with the cord? You're like, I don't want to do that when I'm projecting, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. That is so fascinating. So one of the things about astral travel that when I've sort of read about it and stuff is it seems like a lot of people can just, or just like their first experience is conscious, like you had that sort of conscious moment, and like unprovoked, like they weren't like, I'm going to astral project tonight or whatever. Why do you think that is? Like, why can some of us, and it hasn't happened to me, I kind of wish that it would, but it hasn't yet, please. Why do you think it just like randomly happens for some people?
You know, why does anything randomly happen for anyone, right? We can talk about manifestation and law of attraction, like attracts like. We can talk about it just being right on your journey. We can talk about like the things you're doing in waking life to have better odds and set that experience up. Like at the time, I was going through a very self-guided program. It was just in those moments of completely letting go that it happened. And I think what's happening is I'm putting it so much on my consciousness and my mind that at some point it comes back to it, right? It thinks of it on itself. The conditions are there for that experience to arise. And I think what happens is we have so many first experiences spontaneously when we're sleeping, or if you're in a surgery and you get knocked out or something like that, or a near-death experience, well, that's a little bit different. That happens to you. But because when we're involved with the process and we try to do it consciously under our control, it is infinitely harder. My gosh, all of your personal belief traps and baggage and fears and resistance get in that way. And it is almost like the ultimate like self-guidance learning tool is to figure out how to get out of your way to do that. And so I think that's what happens, because when you're sleeping, you're out of the way, you know?
Yeah. And I also think like wanting something really badly can create resistance too. Like if we're talking about manifesting, like if you want something so badly, it does create resistance, unfortunately. And I think that's what happened to me with lucid dreaming for a while, like a long time. I was like, I want to lucid every night. I'd be like, I want to lucid dream. And then I'd go to bed and nothing would happen. And then one night I had just recorded a podcast episode about it. So it was in my consciousness. I went to bed with no thoughts about lucid dreaming. I was just like, what a cool episode, and just like went to bed. And then I had just had the most bonkers, amazing lucid dream. Like I did everything on the checklist that I would want to do in a lucid dream. So yeah, I think sometimes like the resistance, like if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to do this so badly, like at some point, sometimes we just have to forget that we want to do it so badly, you know?
Well, and like, that actually harkens back. That's what you said. You said it so brilliantly. Wanting it too much can get in the way. And it's one thing that I learned, and I really believe my guides took me on this journey. It was a multi-year journey, kind of separate from the psychic mediumship work and the astral projection. But with that in mind, was going back to a lot of the original like Theravada and Buddhism stuff, because they talk about using meditation to kind of access. Well, I was studying with an expert in the jhanas, and those are like deep states of meditative absorptions. One of the prerequisite states to get to those deeper states is what they sometimes referred to as access concentration. And depending on who you talk to, there's different ways to define that. And that's a conversation for another time. But that state, to get there, it feels very much like a flow state, okay? You're fully present, you're engaged with it, you're not trying too hard, you're not trying too little. And a lot of what comes back to Buddhism is this idea of craving and aversion, wanting and not wanting. And if too much of either is present, it's a hindrance. It hinders you from being able to get into that settled flow-like state. And I found that very true with astral projection. Like you, I was obsessed. I want this every night, just hitting it so hard. And in our Western mindset, we're often encouraged to like show up and give it your all. And that's almost like, that's going to get you in trouble. That's a trap in and of itself. How can you detach from the outcome? How can you show up and genuinely have the intention, put forth the work, but then let go and allow whatever needs to happen and to go with it? And that's not craving. That's just using your intention to move in the right direction, you know, but that craving is a trap.
Yeah, totally. It's, I feel like that's a huge journey. It's almost like the ultimate journey, right? Like, I don't know if any of us are ever going to get it perfectly right. Or if you're like super ascended, maybe you will. But I'm really glad that you touched on that. I guess before I get into my next question, I guess we should sort of define conscious astral projection, which is kind of what we were talking about in those last examples, and unconscious astral projection. So can you give us some examples of like what unconscious astral projection or astral travel would be?
Yeah, so unconscious astral travel could also be like unconscious lucid dreaming. Well, you can define it a couple of ways. On one way, unconscious astral travel could be using sleep, entering it from, you know, right in a sleep cycle, kind of like what I did in that first experience. It could be having a lucid dream and then turning that into an out-of-body experience and going to an astral plane. You're using unconscious states as the means to access that astral experience. You can also define it as not within your control. So doing everything right and allowing it to happen when it happens, right? So on the flip side, conscious astral projection would be one where you are intending to astral project. You sit down, you do your technique, and without a lapse in consciousness, you go from your waking reality to an astral plane over that journey. Whether that's the more traditional raw of your body vibrational state method, or whether that's a little bit more of the kind of like phasing conscious method, you're also much more aware when you're having the experience, like, again, you're fully there. Kind of like I was crawling on my carpet. I was fully there. I was not asleep in my bed. Like I was, but I wasn't aware of that. Right. Sometimes when we're lucid dreaming, we're not quite there, because that lucidity, that awareness is kind of like a spectrum. We're somewhere in between. And that you're kind of in control. You're kind of not. It's like having the dream that, like, oh, your landlord's a pink elephant and they're asking for the rent check. And you're like, that's weird. My landlord's not a pink elephant. All right, here's my rent check. And you kind of just go along with it. Like it almost right. catches you, but not enough to like fully, you know, get you to realize what's going on. So right. you can define that as also conscious or unconscious.
Gotcha. Or cool. on that spectrum. Yeah, love it. And I think, I guess, like if we're including sort of remote viewing, that would be a conscious astral projection. Is that, would that be right?
Well, remote viewing in my experience, and I'm by no means a professional remote viewer. There's some people out there who are incredible. In my experience, yeah, you could definitely use astral projection, get out of your body, intend to go to a place, go there, see it, interact with it, and come back. By all means, that would be a remote viewing experience. You're just fully there at the place picking up information. That's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, it feels a little bit more like a psychic reading where you're sitting in a meditative state, you're asking for information, and you're waiting for whatever kind of like what hits you get, what downloads you get. And you might get a place, a shape, a texture. You ask leading questions to get better answers, and you're just taking down the first thing that comes in. And then you're comparing that to the information and saying how many hits you got, you know, were you on track, were you not? And so because you're interfacing with consciousness, that can happen very, again, you're in a meditative state, sitting on the chair, you're very aware you are, still getting information versus you're fully immersed there in that experience, in that reality, very non-physically.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yep. Good delineation. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing to sort of get to these, or try to get to these conscious astral travel states?
Yeah. So right now, actually, I'm working the lucid dream angle as well as the meditation angle. So the lucid dream has not been an angle I've really played around with too much, but it really resonated with me now because it harkens back to all of the meditation and mindfulness training I've been doing about, you know, staying mindful, staying aware and waking life. And that kind of training has on your consciousness to do the same thing when it's asleep. So very like dream yoga, which is another avenue of looking at this. But the meditation ongoing is, yeah, I am looking for a way to essentially sit down and have that complete conscious control, waking reality to astral experience. I'm aiming for this kind of like, for those of you who have done the phasing method, you might experience this void-like state where it feels like you're floating in what's three-dimensional blackness. Like it's not just the blackness behind your eyes. It's not just a little like darker. It doesn't feel like you're really there, but you're kind of not, like your body's kind of there. No. You are there floating in this three-dimensional void space and using that as a jumping off point for whatever astral experience I want to have. So learning to do that through deep meditative states is kind of the goal. So work in progress, but promising.
Yeah. So cool. When you've sort of like gotten there and like had lots of cool experiences, we'll have to have you back on for like another like follow-up episode.
Oh my God. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. Tons to report, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody's listening and they're like, oh my goodness, get me into this, like where would you suggest that somebody starts like to educate themselves to try to sort of also be on this cool astral projection path?
Yeah. So there's so many ways to start with this. It's a multifaceted approach. So one, educate yourself from respectable people in the field. If you're on Instagram, shout out to Jade Shaw. She's pretty awesome. She does a lot of seminars. She's worked with Netflix on some of their shows and stuff like that as a consultant, plenty of other experts and stuff. She's awesome. I am a huge fan of Robert Monroe, who's kind of like the grandfather of the modern day astral projection kind of experience and phasing. The Monroe Institute's fantastic. Tom Campbell has done a lot of work. He was a partner with Monroe, did some work there, particularly with like hemisync, binaural beats. He teaches a lot and he really brings in a lot of the big theory of how this all goes together. As a former, I think, physicist, he has a really unique perspective, particularly if you're very logically minded. I find his stuff really, really will resonate with those people more than others. And William Bowman's fantastic as well. And Robert Peterson, I believe his name is. He's pretty active on Facebook. He has a blog. He has a lot of fantastic book recommendations. All great places to start reading. In terms of practicing yourself, the best thing to do is don't get in the trap of reading endlessly. You have to start practicing and experiencing it for yourself, because that's the key. You need to have the experience for yourself for it to become your own personal belief and to affect you. So start with a meditation practice and start becoming mindful. Start looking at your own personal patterns and how you react to things and working with that in a more healthy and constructive way. Because the more you can do now in your waking life, you don't need the astral world to do that for you. You can do that now and it'll better serve you over there. Particularly just learning to work with your mind, which I think meditation is our best tool. That's why it's at the core of every spiritual practice to some form, right? It lets us work with our mind directly.
Yeah. Cool. This question is just popping up, so I'm going to ask it. Do you think that there's anything on the astral plane that is dangerous or that people need to sort of protect themselves from before they sort of attempt to maybe go to these places that are sort of like you explained earlier, like a, oh gosh, what were the words that you used? Like the places that everybody sees, consensus.
Oh, the consensus realities. Yeah. The defined planes. I'm sure some people are going to disagree with me on this, but no, I don't believe there is anything that you really have to be afraid of. Doesn't mean there aren't experiences and things that exist, but the odds of running into them are so low most of the time. And I by most, I almost mean all. What we're experiencing is with consciousness, it's such a fluid environment. If you're afraid a little bit, that triggers your environment to respond to that fear. So you start to manifest that fear, which makes you more afraid, which then affects the manifestation more. And it turns into this very rapid, very quickly evolving cycle that next thing you know, yeah, there's this monster on you attacking you and chasing you, but it's just your own fear manifested, you know? As far as like entities go and stuff like that, well, like attracts like, right? So we talked about these idea of these higher planes, these heavenly realms and stuff like that. Well, you know, and there's a lot of debate on this of like, you know, when we pass on, do we all just become immediately spirits full of love and light? And I think most of the time, yeah, for the vast majority of us, more than likely after some review and some processing, from what I've read, you know. But people who've done some bad stuff and don't understand why, you know, it's quite possible that they will go to a similar realm of other people until they can learn, not as a punishment, not in this whole heaven hell idea, just in a, this is the energy, this is that you're putting out, this is what you're attracting to yourself. And all it takes is a change in awareness, a change in understanding to change you from that. It's not an entrapment, it's nothing like that. And I know of some projectors who have written about that in their books, who have experienced some interesting things like that. And I don't think you really have anything to worry about. Most of the time, it's just your own fear coloring the experience. And you stop to think back, you're like, oh, that was like my guy trying to help me out. Or that was my dead loved one at my foot of my bed visiting me. It wasn't some scary thing. Worth pointing out. People who involuntarily stumble upon sleep paralysis, where your mind wakes up before your body and your body's fully locked in place, that can be very terrifying if you don't know what it's like and haven't experienced it. And it takes away your control because you can't move. Your body's rigidly locked so you don't act out your dreams. Your mind just woke up beforehand. That can feel like sleep paralysis. That can feel like something's, you might interpret that as something on top of you, holding you down, immobilizing you. But really, if you just take some breaths, remember that there's nothing to be afraid of. Focus on what you can control. As you start to relax, your body does catch up with the waking up process. You're able to start wiggling a toe a little bit and moving, and you come right back. Or you can just relax into it, try to go back down, and use it as an opportunity to have an astral experience, which is the wise way of handling that.
Ooh, cool. I didn't even realize you could do that. Interesting. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay, great. I'm glad that we got that question answered, because I had completely forgot to add it to my list anyway. Before we wrap up, can you tell us a little bit about the flow method that you have sort of created and teach? Just because I'd love to touch on it if people are sort of interested in your work in general.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for asking. The flow method is the heart and core of my mediumship mentor program. And really, like I said, I'm a meditation coach for developing mediums who are struggling to get out of their heads and trust themselves. And the reason why the flow method kind of came into that, which I will say is using and drawing on a lot of formal meditation and mindfulness practices and flow states to help you get out of your head, trust yourself, improve your connection to spirit. So you can give readings that flow and feel more intuitively tapped in. It's because I originally looked at astral projection as a way to improve like my own psychic intuitive mediumship skills way back when, and make it more physical and more real, which totally took me off the path of developing that and into the astral projection, which took me into the meditation, which took me back to that. And then in looking back, I was like, well, your fear, your personal stuff shows up so much when you're working with this astral projection experience. And I have all these new techniques and ways of dealing with it, thanks to the meditation training. Well, now here's all these like friends of mine going through mediumship and readings and intuitive readers, and they're struggling with the same things that are manifesting along the projection experience. So I'm like, well, guys, here's these techniques to fill this blank. You know, it's not that you necessarily need another, like, you know, 101 technique, like, yo, you just need to do this thing or that thing. Those do help, and there are structures and things to do. But when it comes to working with your mind, your own fear, your own doubt, insecurities, you touched on craving, really wanting it so badly and how that's disrupting the process. There are very real meditative and mindfulness techniques that can address that. And so the flow method is using meditation, concentration, working with your own personal resistance, and some key techniques like sitting in the power and blending with spirit to improve that intuitive process. And honestly, it's probably going to be the core and heart of anything I develop moving forward with astral projection as well, just because it's such a necessary prerequisite step.
Very cool. Cool. I love it. I think, you know, such a cool thing that you've developed. And so I just wanted to make sure that we touched on that before we, you know, close up the interview. And I just have one more question for you. It's the classic opening the door podcast question. And that is, how can someone who's listening to this podcast right now open their door up to their own natural psychic and mediumship abilities?
Okay. First off, recognize that this is capable for you, for everyone. This is not something special. You can think of it, you are as a soul having a human experience. You are a consciousness manifesting, whatever it is, and stop and get in touch with that. Close your eyes. Listen. Become present, become mindful, work with the conditions, look at the effects they're having and start working with that. And you'll realize very quickly that, oh, when you stop to connect with a guide or hear your intuition, there's that voice, there's that feeling, you know, don't get caught up if is it clairvoyance, is it clairaudience, is it clairsentience? These are just words we use to try to define what's happening. Go with it. Even if it feels a little like imagination at first, you know, don't look to analyze it and shut yourself down so early on. Trust it, go with it, get plenty of experience, then look back and see where you're at. And you'll find that there's a lot of validation. There's a lot of synchronous moments that happen, encouraging you along the way, particularly when you incorporate your own personal development into the process.
Amazing. Emmanuel, thank you so, so much for taking the time to chat and just giving us so much to think about and all the cool stories and just like everything you brought to this episode. I think people are gonna super love it.
I really hope so. This is a huge passion of mine. I'm working with a lot of mediums right now, but this is a subject near and dear to my heart. It was so, so great to be able to talk and share that with you and anyone listening. Yeah, you know, let me know your experiences and what's going on. This is an awesome field that deserves a lot of credibility. So happy to share and happy to connect over it.
Oh, amazing. You know what? Also, sorry, let me have you tell people where they can find you if they want to like work with you or if they just want to learn more about your work.
Oh, yeah, sure. So first off, you can find me on Instagram, Nathaniel, Nathaniel.modernmonks, and that's plural, modern monks. Instagram, I post everything to Instagram, links, ways to work with me. You can also go to modernmonks.net. It's our website, my wife and I's website. You can watch a video on the flow method. And if you're curious about that, you can go watch the free training link there or on the link in my bio. You can also work with my wife. My wife is a trance channeler, and we co-host a lot of these workshops for free online where she goes down. We have these two master guides that come through and they give us a subject that they want to talk about. And we don't even know what they're going to say. We just go down and they do it. There's these great workshops, really fun experiences. You can get to that from our website, or you can follow her on Instagram. You'll find her linked on my Instagram plenty, channel with Kelly. And those are both ways to get to meet us, work with us, see our stuff, and just stay connected as things continue to develop. We are so genuinely happy to reach back and help and share it with others, that whenever we have something that we think will really help and resonate and fill in the blanks in this field, we will be more than happy to share it.
Amazing. Cool. Nathaniel, thank you so much again for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom with us.
Yeah. Thanks, Haley. And thanks everyone who are listening.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you love the podcast and listen on Apple, please be sure to rate and leave a review. If you want more from Opening the Door, follow along on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast. Have a question about psychic work or psychic development? Email openingthedoorpodcast@gmail.com, and you might have your question included in one of our future Q&A episodes.